Hi, I'm John Shuchuk, and I'm a developer at Microsoft. It's been an awesome place to work. I've had the opportunity to work on an amazing number of cool projects. Started with internet technologies, led the team creating Visual Studio, then .NET, and then created many of the Azure services, including the graph that Satya just talked about. So I'm going to pick up where Satya left off, and we'll talk about how Microsoft is out and excited to help developers achieve more. We want to help you be successful. We're building this platform. Satya talked about all these pieces. What we're going to do is we're going to drill into some of the projects that we've worked on with partners, and we're going to look at some of the ways that we've helped those partners be more successful. I think there's lessons for every one of you in this, in how, as students, as individual developers, as organizations, how can we help you create more successful software? So let's get started by talking a little bit about a company in Seattle known as HighSpot. HighSpot is a company that is started up. They've got their product up and running, and they're being very successful in the market today. Gartner refers to them as the number one company in this area. So let's talk about some of the ways that Microsoft partnered with them in order to get them to this top and leading position. So I'm going to switch over to my computer here, and I'm going to bring up the HighSpot application. And what we can see here is the app that they've created. And this app does a pretty straightforward thing. It allows sales and marketing people to look around at all the content inside their company in various kinds of shares and make it really easy for them to find it and distribute it. So, for example, if we go over here to the Nexus product marketing area, what you can see are a bunch of, we can see various slides, and notice they have this really cool feature where, as the marketing person's looking around, they can say, oh, I was looking for this slide. Oh, yeah, there it is, and they want to go share it. Now, one of the first conversations we had with this company was, well, how could we work together to help you increase your market share? And they were a company already running on AWS. Everything was all up and running. So the first thing that they were excited about doing was connecting this application into SharePoint and Office 365 to get access to the millions upon millions of organizations that are engaging with those products. And so they did this, and they're the only company that has gotten that code done, and that has really helped them make a lot of sales. Once we got that started, they thought about, wow, there's other things we could do. We could add an Outlook plugin so that you could easily, when you're scheduling a meeting, include some marketing collateral and so on. So on each step of the way, we were helping them add features that makes their product differentiated against all of their competitors. I want to show another area where they've done some great work. HighSpot, one of the things that they do is when they share one of these presentations or documents, they collect lots of telemetry. How long did people look at a particular slide? What customer looked at it? And so they build these very sophisticated reports, these analytics that go and do that. Now, that's a huge amount of work for a company. But we have this great new capability called Power BI. And we have a new thing, and they're one of the first companies to go implement that. This is embedded Power BI. So right within their application, they can have very sophisticated analytics over all kinds of data that appears as their product features. And what was really exciting to them is that they could use the power of Power BI to not only take HighSpot data, but they could connect it into Salesforce data, into their organizational data, and do analytics across all of these things. So for example, if they were looking to understand whether case studies or white papers have more impact, you can simply select on it. You can see that case studies generated $80 million in revenue, and white papers only $43 million in revenue. And you could compare that to the various roles many other parts of the application. So that was a fantastic differentiating capability for them. We're still working with them on this, and we're pulling it together. So that kind of shows the kinds of ways that we often partner with companies. We bring leading edge technology to the table. We then help companies figure out how to get that working, and that makes their products more successful. So I want to talk about one more project that we're doing with HighSpot. And we'll take a look at a little bit of code. Satya talked about one of the hottest areas in the industry, which is the conversations as a platform work that's going on here at Microsoft and at other companies. The notion of digital assistants and bots is something that many people are trying to think about how they put in their applications. Well, we've got a great collection of capabilities. We have cognitive services, we have bot connectors. So let's take a look at what HighSpot wanted to do to create their first bot. So if I go back to the, back over here, we're projecting, I'm gonna open up Visual Studio Code. And what we've got here on the screen, let me see if I can make that a little bit larger, is really an incredibly simple little bot. Notice that this is built in Node.js, all standard NPM capabilities. We've included a library called the Bot Builder. And the Bot Builder does this amazing thing, which is it helps the computer engage in a conversation with the user. And so what you can see is we create a connector bot, and then we add to the beginning of it something that matches the notion of, I would like to find one of the presentations in HighSpot. And what it does, notice it has an array, which is a sequence of conversational steps that are going to be used by that bot. It's gonna ask which employee, which customer, then it's gonna find the presentation. It's gonna do that by looking into the database. So that's a pretty cool, pretty easy way to start getting the bot built. Now what we need to do is we need to connect that bot into everything. We'd like to have it work with Facebook. We'd like to have it work with Slack. We'd like to have it work with Office, with Skype. All of those things are built into this framework. So let's actually see that in operation. I'm gonna do the simplest connection of this bot to something. I'm gonna hook it up to a website, and I'm just gonna use standard Node.js to do that. So what I'm gonna do is I'm just going to do an import of one of the main ways that in Node.js people create web servers, which is with the Restify API. And so I'll require that. And then we've now got that library. The first thing I'm gonna do is I'm gonna create a server. And that's gonna be restify.createServer. And we're just about done. This is the really interesting line, server dot. And what we're gonna do is we're gonna use one of the key capabilities of Restify, which is the ability to listen on different URLs. So I'm gonna listen on a well-known bot URL called API messages. Now, if you know much about Node.js, what you do is you listen for a request, then you process it and you send back information on the response. But we've got this bot builder, and the bot builder is gonna handle all of that stuff for us. So let's see what we do there. We'll use the connector bot, and we'll use the listen method to get that. And now we just need to do the last thing, which is start up the server. Server.listen, and I'm gonna listen on port 8080, and when that works, I'll use an ES6 expression to just put something out on the console that says that we're listening. Console.log, listening. There we go. We have just built our first bot. Should we give it a try? Let's switch over here. Let me save that. And let's open up Node. First thing I'll do is a quick build, make sure everything checks good, and let's start it up. Node.app.js. Standard Node. Now our bot's connected up. Well, in the bot framework, we have a nice tool. It's called the bot emulator, the chat emulator, and it calls those APIs that the bot has created. And what it's doing is it's looking in the conversation for this thing that we just said, which was find presentation. And watch as the dialogue occurs. So we type find presentation, and notice the bot got that message. It looked at that sequence of steps that we had, and it said, ah, let's look in the database. And we've got a bunch of employees, so we'll do John. We'll look at the Nexus information, and it comes back. So think about this. This is some very easy steps that Microsoft's providing so that you could start adding these capabilities. Now, the amazing thing about this is you could be sitting on your phone. You could be using Facebook, and you could talk to this bot. You could be using WeChat and go talk to this bot. It's all built into this notion of connectors into that bot code we just created. So you can imagine doing this on your mobile phone where you don't even have an app downloaded, and then ultimately you find that presentation, you click on it, and it brings up the HighSpot application showing you that particular information on your phone. So that's a great example of how some of this leading edge work we're doing is making it very, very easy for developers to add these capabilities to their products. So that's kind of a quick intro to some of the work that we're doing. I have one more quick demo I want to show around bots. Satya talked about this notion of cognitive services. These are capabilities around machine learning, these and vision, natural language processing, speech. And so here's a very simple little bot. It understands some basic English language stuff using the cloud natural language processing system. And we can type in funny things like, what if, I don't know, what's a good one? Oh, there's a good one. What if a dog was a bird? And what happens is that this reaches out up to Azure, and it uses those cognitive services, and it looks for images that it understands. It then does this amazing thing, which is it uses the image processing tools to match up the eyes and the size of the face, and then ultimately we get kind of funny images back that are available to pretty much anybody who wants to use them. So there's a dog and a bird. And this is all available. This is just running in Skype today. Anybody can go try it. It's running in Facebook today. The thing that's amazing about this is that building something like this would have been out of reach of almost every developer on the planet even a couple of years ago. We just didn't have the natural language capabilities, the image processing capabilities. Wiring all this together would be extremely difficult. Here, my team put that together in just a couple of weeks in order to go do this kind of demo so that people could see where we're heading with these things. Okay, so let's switch back to slides. And I just want to talk a little bit about this opportunity that we just saw. Really, this is all around this notion that Satya described of reinventing productivity. If you look at what's happening in the world of Office, we've made huge investments to make this cross-platform, to use standard web technologies, so you can go create this using Node.js, you can create it using Angular or Bootstrap, it uses standard OAuth protocols, and you can hook into that world of Office. And the thing that's incredible about Office is look at that, 1.2 billion organizational logins per month. That's a lot of people who are using that set of that Office capabilities, Office 365 and so on, and that becomes accessible to you as developers. So if you're a startup targeting the enterprise, just like HighSpot is, this is a huge target market and a great way to differentiate your product. As you can see, there's a lot of companies, Dropbox, Box, DocuSign, and a long, long list of others that are taking advantage of these new capabilities. So that's a little bit on reinventing productivity. What I want to do now is I want to switch to talking about how we're working to build the intelligent cloud platform And I want to talk about how we've been partnering with some key companies. So I'd like to have Alex come on out. He'll set up. Alex is a developer on my team. And Alex and I were having a conversation about a new piece of technology that was out in the world called Mesosphere. Mesosphere is one of the leading startups out of the San Francisco area building data center technologies. They have a scheduler that can allow you to take a task and run it on across thousands of computers, and it'll keep track of various different tasks, spin them up, spin them down, and you could write that code in a lot of different ways. Now, it was running on Linux. It's a great, great, great product, and Alex and I were talking about this, and Alex said, hey, you know, I'd like to see if I could get this thing working with Windows. So tell us, Alex, introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about what happened.
Hi, my name is Alex. I guess the place where this started is we put together like a simple proof of concept to get this Mesos, which is kind of like this data center operating system thing, to run on Windows so that people could schedule Linux and Windows boxes and schedule applications that run on large clusters of multiple types of node. And we put together this proof of concept, and then I like cold emailed Ben Hinman,
the CEO,
the founder of Mesosphere, and I was like, do you guys want to, you know, work with us on this? And so he took the meeting, and I think at the beginning it was kind of interesting. He was kind of interested in it from like an ecosystem perspective, right? Like he was like, this will be nice to have.
But it seemed like a good idea, and we started the conversation. We started working with them, and notice this interesting thing. We're working on this is Microsoft. We're working on this open source project. We've got developers like Alex in their code helping to enhance that capability. Now, initially, Ben, like Alex said, was like, oh, this is a good idea, but he wasn't really excited about it. But then he got excited about it.
Yeah, so I think the interesting thing is where it got interesting for me is as I was sort of embedded in their office for like 2 months, which was kind of weird. For Microsoft, it's kind of weird. And, you know, as time progressed, they started talking to the customers because, you know, they sell the software that helps people run these large clusters. And they were talking to, like, all these enterprise customers, and they realized that, you know, in a lot of cases, the first question was, like, when are you shipping Windows support? And it was just, like, so far off their roadmap that it didn't even register as, like, a question.
But with this work that we did together, what we've been able to do is increase the number of partners that would be willing to use Mesosphere by what we heard, a factor of three.
Yeah, so someone on the product team told me that, you know, just doing this work increased their addressable market by like three.
So think about that. Here's a startup. They're already super successful. They're funded by the top VCs in the Valley. And we came in, we partnered with them, we helped them connect to the Microsoft ecosystem, and we increased their valuation, their addressable market, by about 3x. It's really a pretty incredible story. But here's the crazy part, it gets even better, which is because we were partnering with them, we got to really know one another well. And just like many big companies, Microsoft was off thinking about how we're gonna do this kind of cluster management in Azure. And so ultimately what happened was we brought together their technologies and we built the Azure Container Service, which we'll demonstrate in just a second, out of that joint process. And this is very unusual to see a company partnering so deeply in the community to create leading edge services. So you have this, you have it set up. Why don't we switch over to your computer and take a look at kind of how this Mesos works.
Right, so what we're gonna do is we're going to we're just gonna write like a simple C program. So this is normal Vim, just like a text editor. What we're gonna do is we're gonna write a small program, like a Hello World program. We're going to package it up as a Docker container and send it out to run on all of these machines. I've already got started kind of. There's this main function. I'm just gonna printf, and it's gonna say, hello, Singapore, if I remember how to spell it. And then I'm gonna have it sleep for a couple of seconds, so like 10 seconds. Great, so real simple application, right? Just gonna print some stuff and then sleep. So what we wanna do now is we want to tell Docker, which is going to we're going to tell Docker to package this up, compile this, this file, package it up as a program, and ship it up to the cloud, right? So what we do is we go Docker build. So I'm just looking through my history. So you can see the Docker daemon is just, it's compiling it, it's adding, you know, the file that it needs, and then it's turning it into this image that can run anywhere. So my machine, John's machine, the cloud, it's yep. just a package that can run anywhere now.
So, and we can do this for all kinds of programs. Node programs, Python programs. We happen to be doing C here just to demonstrate that we can do it.
Right, and so now we're gonna Docker push.
Yep.
So this is pushing to Docker Hub, which is kind of like GitHub for containers. It's just gonna be hosted there, and then anybody who wants to go get it can pull it down and execute it on their own cluster.
All right.
So now we switch to the cluster view. What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna use this distributed application called Marathon I'm gonna tell Mesos to basically pull this package and run it in the cluster somewhere.
Marathon is the scheduler for this, yep.
But that, the important part is it's we're just telling Mesos to pull this package and execute it. So we're gonna call it hello, Singapore. I'm gonna give it 32 megabytes of memory, and then I'm going to, and this is the interesting part, I'm gonna tell it which package I want, the hello package, or hello Singapore package that I just made in the console. And I'm going to create application. So now you see it's deploying. It's gonna go out, fetch the package, and then start running it. This could take a couple of seconds, so we actually already have this kind of set up in a different cluster.
Okay.
So this is, you know, running in Azure Container Services somewhere, right?
The first example you did, you just ran that on a local cluster.
Right. Yes.
This is really important to understand. I happen to have one of the world's experts in Mesos and setting up these distributed clusters. Alex set this cluster up, and it was hard, right?
Yeah, so we actually found a VirtualBox bug while we were setting up this demo. We've switched over to the Azure Container Services version. Which we put up before the demo because we didn't want to wait to fetch it. But the nice thing about Azure Container Services is you don't have to worry about setting up the cluster. It just, you tell Azure to go provision the cluster and it goes and builds you a huge Mesos cluster.
Great. Yep. So thanks, Alex.
Sure.
And I'll just do a quick wrap up and we'll go back to slides.
Cool. Right.
So again, we start working with this company. We start doing some code together. We help them connect to the Microsoft ecosystem and platform. That increases their addressable market, and then suddenly we become deep partners, creating our next generation solution for high-scale computing in this very turnkey way. You don't have to go through all the rigmarole of having experts like Alex there. You simply toss it up to the cloud, and Azure will execute it. One of the ways that we've been able to make incredible progress with Azure, all of these capabilities, is through this notion of partnership. We love working in the open source world. I think sometimes people find it funny that Microsoft loves Linux, but as you can see down there in compute, Azure Container Services works great with Windows, works great with Linux, and it really is leading edge as a consequence of this joint kind of partnering that we do. So I want to just kind of wrap up with a couple more things. If you're a developer and you're thinking about how you make your company more successful, you can use these same kind of techniques, the embedded Power BI, the bot frameworks, our low-level compute like you just saw, where you're using standard open source Docker and other technologies. But you get an addressable market through all of the marketplaces and other things. And as you can see, we're just the growth rate on Azure is off the charts. We're really excited about where we're going with it. We're, of course, in a tough competition with Amazon. But the key thing that we've been finding is that when we really sit down and think about how we make you successful, we're successful with the partners. These are just examples of some of the partners who have decided to work with us. Everyone from Docker to Pivotal, that's the company that does Cloud Foundry. So we have in our marketplace a very large number of cloud and enterprise ready solutions for you to quickly take advantage of and really do amazing things. Data stacks to do scalable Hadoop and data, Mesosphere, we talked about Pivotal to build enterprise, active deployments out in the world. It's all quite impressive, and it's through the work with our partners, folks like yourself, building that next generation of software that we're enabling this. Finally, I kind of want to wrap up by talking about where we're headed in terms of more personal computing and how we can be helping you as developers create those. Satya talked about Windows 10, and one of the key things with Windows 10, we have made a massive investment over the last several years to do something that's really never been done in the industry, which is that ability to go from the Raspberry Pi to the desktop, to the Xbox, to the game console, and then to HoloLens. One application, you can write it, and you can deploy it to all of these different devices. It's really pretty amazing that you can do that, and there's no other platform that has that kind of capability. We're about to release a new version of Windows. The current version of Windows, Windows 10, is out. We have, Satya talked about the 280 million. We're actually up to 300 million. We just talked about it a couple days ago. Think about that. That is an addressable market. That is a target market if you're going to go create applications. And it's growing much, much faster than our previous best operating system, which was previous best operating system in terms of growth, which was Windows 7. So we're at actually 140% of what we did with Windows 7. If we look at the next version of Windows, which is just around the corner, there's a lot of things that we're doing to help you as developers. I mean, you can look through here. We've got new pen and ink experiences. We've got the ability to run across all these different devices like Xbox and HoloLens. There's three things, though, I really want to touch on. Probably one of the most amazing announcements from my perspective that we've made over the last couple of months is the ability to run Bash and Linux solutions directly on Windows. This is an amazing thing. I was sitting down with the Canonical folks, the Ubuntu folks, and we were talking about what is the best computer to do Ubuntu development on. And you know what? If you go look at the Ubuntu offices, a lot of them have Macs. Because if you're targeting Linux, that's a good place to do it. And the Canonical folks said, it's the weirdest thing. With this new capability, Windows is actually a better Linux development environment than any of our other products. So we're excited about bringing that Linux developer community onto this platform and making it easy to use. Now, you know, we have no issue if people want to go develop on the Mac. We provide Visual Studio Code and a lot of other things. But it is interesting that we're making this kind of investment, and it really does show how much Microsoft loves Linux. Couple of other quick ones. We built a converter that allows you to take your Win32 and .NET apps, there are many of them out there, and convert them into to store apps, things that can be distributed, things that are easy to install and uninstall that don't mess with the user's computer. That's a key new technology. It's our Win32 and .NET bridge. So if you're a .NET developer, if you're a Windows developer, all of your code can now come forward. Finally, one of the probably most exciting announcements that we've made recently is Xamarin. I don't know if everybody knows Xamarin. Xamarin is an amazing set of tools that are widely used across the industry to build shared code across iOS and Android and Windows. And it was a very expensive product. But as you can see, many, many companies were using that product to create their solutions. We recently acquired Xamarin. They came and joined the Microsoft family. We had been partnering with them for a long time. And now we've made all of these tools available for free. So if you're a developer and you have limited resources, you want to hit iOS, Android, Windows, Xbox, all of it, Xamarin's a great set of tools. Built into Visual Studio, works with the Community Edition, so students can get it, anybody can get a hold of this, and we're very excited about the ways that we're reaching out to developers to help them build these more personal experiences. So I kind of want to wrap up by just summarizing that it's our success when you succeed. Anytime you build a platform, and Microsoft is a platform company, really the only thing that counts is when all of you as developers find value in what we're doing. And the only way you're going to find value is if we can decrease your costs through key things like Xamarin, or we can increase your market valuation, penetration, the impact of your software, maybe make it technically better. Whatever that happens to be, we're excited to partner with you and empower every developer to succeed. So thank you very much.